Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. This is Season 7, Episode 14, The Other Side. We're getting dangerously close to some death and destruction and the possible war we all have seen on the horizon coming straight at us. We're going to get started, guys. Hang out with us. We'll see you in just one second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, it's called The Other Side. We have the episode, right?
We're on the other side.
How many episodes do you think that we actually are able to find a song with the exact title? It's like one in five, I feel
It's very few.
I feel like if our musical knowledge was a little wider, we could probably do it for every episode.
Really?
I think we're slacking.
Actually, we mean to do a challenge for that, because I'm pretty musically inclined, actually. So,
yeah.
Just saying.
Who's your favorite artist of all time? Prince, right?
Yeah, Prince.
Yeah,
exactly.
So.
Yeah. If we're going to go like that era.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Sweet. Rapper Drake.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those two, Nathan's time is up?
Yeah.
All right, tangent. Hey, guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. This is the after show for The Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 14, The Other Side. Things are starting to get kind of hot and heavy. Guys, I think we're like an episode away from another major character death.
I thought it was going to happen this episode, so I'm a little disappointed, I must say.
We were really close to it happening this episode.
I was ready for it.
Yeah, I was.
There was definitely some pretty strange developments this episode. Fully clear at this point that they are not going to give us like any of the war this season. I think we were all pretty sure.
If it's going to happen, the last episode. You know,
they have to give us something.
Something. I mean, there's only two episodes left. So
I mean, it's going to have to sort of start next week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the second to last episode of the season. So anyway, guys, we're going to share our thoughts right now. If you want to follow along, feel free to follow us on Twitter. Share your thoughts. You do interact with us every week, which is awesome. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media. At the end of the table, we've got Daryl Christian manning the live chat.
That's right. What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us tonight. Let me know everything you got to say on the live chat, and I will let everybody know on the show what you guys are saying. I already know what the topic is already, so I can't wait to start that.
Susanna Kim.
Hey, guys. You can find me at Susanna_Kim, SusannaKim.
John Carl, the John Carl, THEJOHNCARLE on Twitter and Instagram, and Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. Mark, can you kill the song? It's really hard to pay attention right now.
It is, actually. That's what threw me off. I was like,
He tries to sing the song through our intros every week. That's what I've learned. Right, Mark? Donica?
That is absolutely correct.
How's it going, Donica?
It takes so damn long.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, I had to find it.
Get to the sadness.
So, aside from probably the most exciting thing about tonight's episode is that we had our buddy back from Japan.
Yes. I'm wearing a Pikachu shirt I got from Japan.
That's pretty
How
badass.
Many days were you there for?
10 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exciting? Good time?
Yep. Can only say thank you. That's literally all I got. All
right.
Arigato. That's it. I learned nothing else about culture while I was there. It was great.
All right.
I spent a lot on video games, so it was cool.
Culture.
Yeah.
So, I think we should probably start at the beginning. We'll start at the hilltop. Couple big things happened this week at Hilltop. So, first of all, Maggie goes into hiding with Daryl once they hear the saviors are coming.
Yes. Sir, before we get into that, I just want to point out, the security at Hilltop is garbage.
Because
the line of sight for when the saviors were getting there and the amount of time that they had, it was like 30 seconds. It's like, what do you have, like a 500-foot draw distance or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Like, they have no distance for seeing stuff coming down the one road that goes to the hilltop.
Yeah. They might as well have a peephole.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's just a door knocker, and it's like, oh, okay, it's Simon. Got it. Saviors are here.
So you've got Daryl and Maggie going to hiding. Now, we all know that Daryl, obviously, is not supposed to be there. Daryl's supposed to still be a prisoner.
Sure.
I had totally forgotten that the Saviors didn't know Maggie was at Hilltop. I, for some reason, thought that that was a thing she had been there when that attack, when they had released all the walkers.
Yeah, but they weren't in the... when they released the walkers, the Saviors never went inside, and then later it was the... You know, is Gregory going to sell them out? He tried to, and that's where the surprise bottle of booze ended up being.
Right.
Or a case of booze, yeah.
Right. Totally, but then at the same time, I feel like Daryl, he probably, like, doesn't know who Daryl is, and he's like, I don't know who that... But he, like, clearly knows who Maggie is. Well, actually, he doesn't have any idea who Maggie is, but he, like, recognizes her face, at least. He's had conversations with Maggie. The whole thing was a little confusing. I was like, I feel like he's going to accidentally let slip that Maggie's here right now, because he seems so clueless he wouldn't even know that he's supposed to hide her.
No, I think they made it pretty clear.
Yeah, I think they knew. Okay. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So before they go into hiding, though, we have, like, actually what I thought was a pretty interesting first few minutes of the episode.
The cold open piece?
Yeah. I actually really liked it. It was dialogue-free. It was just music, and it was, like, three and a half minutes long. I thought that was pretty cool. It was one of those things where you're watching, you're like... Because, you know, like, the first 45 minutes of WALL-E has no words, and I remember watching that and thinking...
True.
Loved it.
Yeah, WALL-E is, like, one of my favorite movies. I remember watching that and thinking, like, wow, like, that's really interesting. You can even do this in a Pixar movie, and, like, kids are going to enjoy this, and that's a great movie. Same kind of thing here, where you're like, oh, interesting. It's they've just decided to not give us any words here, and I was sold. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was a solid open, you know, it was a little hard to tell from the timing perspective because of the way that the previous episode had ended. Like, was this prior to when Rosita was there? Like, it was like it just felt a little strange on the timing perspective. But the overall training of these people and getting them ready and stuff like that, I thought it was necessary because up to this point, the Hilltop has been the weakest community.
Right.
And if they are going to go to this war that we're predicting at the end of the season, they have to be trained.
Sure.
Because, like, you know, what Gregory said, they're cannon fodder. Like, who's going to train these people?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that they've been so busy while we've been away, you know, watching Rick and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know, like, catching up on them. And it was interesting to see them actually, like, working with the knives.
With the knives.
And, like, doing that sort of Karate Kid training. So
yeah, I mean, I thought it was a solid opening. I honestly thought it was going to end differently. The way, just with the the training part, and then what I thought from the preview from last week to, with Sasha and Rosita, where it was going to go, I thought would be a little bit different ending, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But as far as the topic of the top of the show,
open, yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. That part I loved.
Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous.
I thought it was going to be something, like, even bigger and, you know, harsher in that sense.
I think, honest to God, my MVP of the season so far is Bear McCreary. The music has been so good. The music has been spot on. Like, multiple sequences this season, I found myself, like, noticing the music more than anything else.
The first Nicotero episode, I disagree. That one, the music felt hokey to me.
You're talking about the first episode.
The first episode of the mid-season Nicotero directed didn't feel right to me. This one, though, I thought was really well done.
And was it last week? Was it the Michonne and Rick episode?
That was also a Nicotero episode.
But I like the music in that episode. Yeah, I just in general think Bear does a great job. I'm a big fan.
Noticing it more and more, too.
Yeah.
This episode we watched with the captions on just to make sure we didn't miss anything in dialogue. And basically the entire episode there was a music note at the top, so it was really well planned this episode.
So they're like, we get this whole cold open, and then and the saviors are coming, and so Daryl and Maggie go into hiding, and we get like this whole like cat and mouse thing, where are they? Gregory just like the ultimate shit weasel, just sitting there looking out the window, what's going on? And I sort of like haven't quite figured out what he thinks he's doing yet. That's like, I think it's one of my big question marks so far. He doesn't seem like he's a noble enough guy to have actually, like, played along this far. It feels like he would have sold them out already.
So I think the reason why he hasn't sold them out comes down to if at any point that Negan or his people find out that Maggie and Daryl are there and he doesn't immediately send them a message about it, or have them imprisoned or something like that,
he's
harboring them,
at least in
his mind. So he's already at the point where he's screwed unless he's going to be, like, locking them up and have them waiting on a silver platter for the saviors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's able to convince everybody else that this is what I need to do at this point.
Yeah.
Because his own people at that point will then turn on him and be like, no, they've been here for a while, he's been BSing you.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if he even knows what he's doing yet.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of playing
trying
the
to figure
field.
It out.
Yeah, he wants to see which side's cooler. Like, oh, okay, you guys are the cool kids. Let me drink what you're drinking, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, let me try tequila now that you're, you know.
He's
so
in
full-on
survival mode.
He's the full-on, shit weasel. He's the ultimate. He's going to see who's going to win. And once he kind of decides, then he'll take a stance, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
What's the chat have to say? Any thoughts?
The chat is actually on the subject of Sasha dying. So that's the major thing right now.
We'll come back to that one.
We'll come back to that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so anyway, we've got them showing up, and some really, really good Stephen Ogg scenes this episode. He's got some great moments.
They all say that he looks like a 70s porn star, by the way. That's been the senses of the chat as well.
Yeah. He's incorporated a lot of his character from Grand Theft Auto in there, because
more
he's, like, slightly over the top, slightly twitchy, but in, like, the psychotic way, not the bad acting kind of way.
Yeah, right.
And, that,
yeah.
and that's why I think he's doing a great job on this character, because the top saviors are all basically psychopaths and sociopaths, so why not have one who is one of the most infamous ones in another media? So.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with him. It's like, he's like the love-to-hate character. It's like, yeah. I hate him, but I like him.
Yeah.
He's so
laugh.
Charismatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I like him.
Still. Like, mm-hmm. I will actually be sad when in the war he probably gets killed.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely, yeah.
He just has some great moments. His interaction about the tequila was great.
He's doing like
yeah,
this with
one.
His face.
I love that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Is my face very expressive to you? And
yeah.
it's like, I thought you were kind of having a stroke.
And the doc, he's like, why do you need two doctors? And he's like, I thought my expression would have conveyed what had happened.
It was such a good scene.
Yeah.
I loved all that.
That was great. So Dr. Carson gets taken away. So, yeah, now they've got...
Also didn't realize it was the same last name and they were brothers. It was kind of like my
yeah.
Martha from Batman versus Superman
yeah.
moment of like,
yeah.
oh, they do have the same name.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
right, right. They kept saying Dr.
They
Carson.
Did.
Dr.
Yeah,
Carson.
Dr. Hart, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder what the backstory is there. You know, like when were they torn apart? Were they, you know,
right.
When were they together?
He didn't, also Dr. Carson at Hilltop didn't really seem, he was like, oh, my brother pissed some people off, got himself killed, huh?
Yeah.
He wasn't like, my brother's dead.
Yeah, he didn't mourn him
yeah,
at
no,
all.
No emotion.
Yeah. I guess it's
actually,
been a while.
Yeah.
yeah, definitely yeah. surprising there. And then he leaves a giant crate of aspirin.
Yeah.
yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Which, like, at that point, Gregory's like, a word. I was like, what? That's the thing? Because they gave you too much aspirin? You're pissed?
Yeah.
You
that's what you're pissed
now?
Off about.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's a doctor replacement, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So.
An aspirin a day.
for everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, that happens. We find out that, you know, this doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. Sorry, Gregory. You're effed. And then he threatens Jesus.
Before that, I kind of love the interaction with him and Steven between the fence and the building and stuff like that. I just thought it was really funny where he's like, well, you know, some people might get some ideas and try to take over and
yeah.
might not be so cooperative. And I don't know if Simon's character is dense and he's like not picking up the hint on it, or if he just legitimately thinks that Gregory is an idiot and he's like, Gregory's just talking out of his ass right now. I don't know which it
I
is.
I don't know, but I kind of feel like he thinks Gregory's an idiot
yeah,
for some
yeah.
reason.
Too.
That's what I think.
I think he's just not even remotely scared of him.
Yeah.
yeah.
So he's just like, what are you talking about? Like, you're trying to be vague here to get me to like play along with
yeah.
you?
Right.
I did like his use of the word shenanigans too.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah
you can come in and we'll drink tequila, but no shenanigans.
Right.
And it's like, such a great lunatic character.
yeah.
But according to Mary Duda 444, she said Dr. Carson is smart not to get emotional in front of Simon.
I would
yeah.
agree with that.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that the fact that he can now go to the Savior's compound and has it into the door somehow is going to be relevant very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm assuming that's supposed to be.
Also, his brother was kind of a jerk, so it's like, you
mm-hmm.
don't know if he did screw him over in the past, too.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
Because
sure,
he wasn't
point.
Even shocked by it. Like, it's one thing if you, like, you get the shock for a second, then you have to compose yourself. He's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Right. So, now, back to this moment where Jesus gets threatened. We have a couple Jesus moments in this episode. One, we have a conversation with Jesus and Maggie, and this was a big reveal, actually. It may have seemed small, but to those who, you know, we do talk about the comics after
yep.
the episode ends, usually for a minute or two to get to spoilers, we stay away from otherwise, but that was a comic book reference. When he,
yep.
he references, he
yeah.
says, like, I didn't really open up to people in the group homes, you know, it was hard to, and then he says, like,
he said something like friends, boyfriends, yeah.
And that's the drop, that he's at least, he is at least bisexual.
Right.
You know, he's not necessarily gay, but in the comics, that's all we see, and so...
Yeah, and I like that they did it in a more subtle way
yeah.
on TV, because in the comics, you know, obviously you have to go a little stronger with the way stuff is presented, because you don't have the motion.
Yeah.
And it was just a reveal of him kissing another guy. But this one, it was just like, it was such a... It was well done because it was a non-factor, and
it was almost like
right
a throwaway. Like, he said it so quickly,
yeah.
and
right.
I said, "Wait, did he just come out right now? Like, is
yeah.
that the coming out right
yep.
now?"
Mm-hmm.
I think the other reason that they did it was because we've had a scene already in an earlier season with Aaron and
yeah.
Who's his boyfriend's name? Who I literally forget every single episode.
Now that you forgot it, I'm forgetting it too.
He's like never on screen,
yep.
but. Him. And then, yes, the guy who we did this like a week ago.
Yeah, Daryl will find out the name so we don't get destroyed.
Someone tell us in the chat. Yeah, sure, tell us in the chat.
But early on when you first meet Aaron and he comes back to Alexandria and you have a kiss and you didn't know that Aaron was gay, I feel like they didn't want to just do that scene again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that that was how his reveal happened, too. Yeah.
Not to say that, like, I mean, it's not like male and female characters. That doesn't happen on TV all the time. But I just...
Eric.
Yes. For the sake of their audience, I think they realized that, like, differentiating the experience was probably, like, they wanted to make it, and I think that was smart.
Yeah.
So I like the interaction because I do like starting to get the background on characters like that. Like, it's fine, it's all well and good to get to know a character through their actions, but it's good to know their backstory in a way that isn't just flashbacks,
right?
Or like long drama heavy monologues,
exposition,
or entire episodes.
Yes, exactly. So that was good. So we have that conversation. Then he goes up to the office and gets threatened by. The most infamous shit weasel in all of the Hilltop. And, like, didn't... But he, like, kind of steps to him. Did you just threaten me? And then he says it. Then he says it again. And then he just, like, gets escorted out. I was kind of like, he's like, something about it?
Well, no, but Gregory being Gregory, he was like, no, I didn't threaten you. I was just being sarcastic. So he was making a threat, but then he's such a wimp, he can't even back the threat.
No, he can't. He always hides behind the words.
That's true.
I'm just, like, shocked to some degree that nobody's just, like, get out. Just go. He just seems like he should have been thrown out of power by now.
I feel like he would be overpowered, but like you said, no one probably wants to run it.
I think it's getting there, though, because in the beginning, they're all debating, oh, should we tell Maggie or not? No one's wondering if we should tell Gregory. No one's worried about, you know, what his opinion is. So I think it's getting there.
Yes. So we have the threat, and then at the same time, just before this, we've got Daryl and Maggie hiding in this cellar.
Yep.
So now we have two things that happen right at that moment. We have Sasha and Rosita that make their escape, and this is after the conversation with Enid, where she basically finds out you guys are going to make an attack on Negan, and Jesus is like, don't do it, don't do it. We should all do it together. But, you know, Sasha's like, we're going to go. I'm sorry, we're absolutely going. And they take their moment. So they go, like, on their own journey.
It was a little interesting to me that they had the backdoor escape plan ready, and obviously Maggie knew about it, but they didn't at least even make an attempt to get there. They said it's going to be too tight. I feel like again, it goes to the really piss-poor warning system that they have there.
Yeah.
But it shocked me that they didn't try, because all of the saviors went into that building, and, I mean, there was a lot of them, so I can't imagine how many more that they brought on top of it.
Right.
Yeah. Because they also weren't there trying to find somebody that was hiding. Like, that was the impression that we got from last week's, Next On trailer and stuff like that. But they weren't there searching for one of the unknowns. They were there just to pick up the doctor. So if everybody went into that building, I feel like they could have snuck to that escape hatch kind of thing.
It was a nice bait and switch, by the way. Yeah. We didn't even make reference to it with the doctor not being Daryl. You think that they're looking for Daryl.
Right.
Yeah, that was good.
I
like that.
I did like that, yeah.
But so, yeah, they get into the cellar, and they're hiding, and this dude who's already threatened Enid, like, not threatened her, but hassled her a little bit, and...
Well, he did say he was going to cut the knife off of her. I would consider that a threat.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she bothered him, too. I mean, right?
They're allowed
she
to was have
I mean, that's how I interact purpose, with so. Children, but, you know.
They're allowed to have knives. He just wanted it. That was the deal?
Yeah, well, it was an interesting thing, too, because he was so wishy-washy at the beginning, and then he saw that knife, and it's like, then he became really creepy. You know what I mean? And I just wish that she had hidden the knife a little bit better. At this stage, you know, you go in more prepared, but is it because she's so young and youthful?
Do you think that
she's also not used to combat situations, either.
Like, you don't think so at this stage? She's been with Carl, though.
Carl's an asshole.
Yeah, but I mean, she's still been in situations with him where she should not be that naive at this stage.
No, but not around people like the Saviors and stuff like that. Like, you go through the episode where we kind of saw her history and stuff like that. Like, she was mostly dealing with walkers. It wasn't interactions with people like the Saviors other than what she's only recently come into.
Okay. I mean...
I stand by my statement.
I still disagree a little bit, but I hear you. I hear your point.
So now the last piece of this is that before Rosita and Sasha take off, we have like we finally have the interaction between Daryl and Maggie that I think we've all been waiting to eventually happen,
yep.
Which is that like Daryl felt responsible, obviously, because of his outburst, and Maggie's just like it's not your fault. We're gonna kill all of them, and I'm here for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got your back, and all of this. And I thought that was a nice scene. Actually,
it was, but I still found it a little anticlimactic. And
did you?
It was a great scene.
Yeah.
Well acting, but I still found it. I think for me, just the buildup of it. I think I want everybody to go rogue at this point. So maybe in my mind, that means like she, you know, she's upset, he's upset, and they're just going in and butchering everybody. And maybe that's just maybe that's what I like to see.
That's
what
Rosita and
Sasha
are trying to do.
Sorry, guys. Right. Yeah. Sorry, that's who I am. That's what I love. You know.
Good to know. Right.
Yeah. Well, I liked the scene, and I thought it was important. It was an important scene. We had two different conversations this episode that like start to unpack feelings between characters that had witnessed the brutal murder.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, to some degree that this season has suffered a little bit because, A, the precedent that was set with that first episode was so savage that, like, it's still as intense and violent as it was and as, like, huge of a moment as it was in the Walking Dead universe. Also, it is still just an episode of TV for us. So we watch it and we walk away from it being like, yeah, that was great. And then, like, don't realize that they have to spend all this time unpacking how all of these characters are going to react to that moment. It doesn't get to happen in two episodes.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to take like a whole season because all of these people have to have their moments. They all have, like, think about it. That scene between Maggie and Daryl had to eventually happen. Yeah. You have to spend all the time building up Maggie's sadness and keeping Daryl sullen and like, you know, Sasha and Rosita, you have to spend all this time like having them like essentially catfight, like be passive aggressive every time they see each other before finally you get a moment like tonight where they actually open up a little bit.
But it's also happening over a shorter time span for them than what it is for us, because this is 6 weeks for us for even just this half of the season. So it's like for these people, like, we don't know the exact time frame off the top of our heads, but it's a matter of weeks, maybe a month and a half. I forgive me if I'm wrong on that one, but so where we're playing it out over, you know, we started this back in October with this season. Right. So they're just experiencing it all for the first time.
True. Yeah. So Javier, excuse me if I mess up your last name.
Quintanilla.
he said that he wanted more emotion from Daryl. And I'm with you on that, brother. I mean, like, what you're saying. I mean, it goes back to kind of my point. I felt like I needed a little bit more.
He's shown more emotion in the past, too. Like, especially scenes with Carol, you've seen more emotion come out of him.
Yeah.
Whereas I do agree, like, this one, if he feels responsible for it, which obviously he does, and he has good reason to feel responsible for it, I could see it needing to be stronger as well.
But then Tanya R. said Daryl still hasn't forgiven himself for, so he has less emotion.
Yeah. No, I think that's not something you're going to get over for a long time. I don't think he's forgetting himself at all. I think that's why it was pent up like that. So let's jump over to the Rosita and Sasha storyline. And I use the phrase catfight sarcastically just to clarify, because I don't want anybody watching thinking that I'm referring to that, because it's like two women in reference to a guy. It's just that, like, it's very passive aggressive and very like, just because we were both with the same dude, don't make us friends. Like, comments like that where you're just like, all right, let's... Yeah, you all witness people get murdered, so let's calm down and treat each other like people. Anyway, so...
Ben has spoken.
Well, I realize it's an ignorant thing to say, so I'm not trying to say that. So they get in this tunnel, this escape tunnel, and they get on the road, and this is like... We get a couple things explained. One of the most important things explained is the why did Rosita know how to defuse bombs storyline.
Yeah, I was actually very happy that they gave us that revelation, because... Mm-hmm. A bunch of us, you know, assumed it was like, okay, it was all the Abraham training, and it was like, no, the reason her and Abraham fell into everything together was because other people had trained or had done stuff in front of her. She picked it up, and she proved herself to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that made her feel like a much stronger character to me.
I felt like this episode was slow at times, but I actually felt like the backstory that we got, even in little moments like that with Jesus... moments like that with Maggie and Daryl, as far as like what's been going on, and then especially the stuff with Rosita and Sasha, I thought that was like all very valuable, because Rosita as a character, they've really been driving into the ground.
They have
just been making her the most negative,
upset, unlikable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so like it was about time to get a little bit of something. Ooh, sorry guys,
don't die. Please don't die.
It was about time to get a little bit of something and to find out kind of what had happened and how did she know how to defuse a bomb and why was she so good
at hotwiring cars and stuff like that?
It just made her character a little bit more understandable to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people assumed that she knew the disarming the bombs from Abraham.
Totally.
But that wasn't the case at all. So it was kind of
that's where I figured it initially was from.
Yeah. She also has terrible taste in men. She was dating a guy who nicknamed himself Chaser.
Yeah.
True.
Like, come on.
Yeah. It's a habit. But here's the thing. The funny thing is that scene started actually with her noticing the necklace that Sasha was wearing, which was the chipped... glass
from something, I believe. Yeah.
And she's like, I made it.
She
made it. I was like, that's a ballsy move right there. You know? Could have gone a lot of different places. And you saw Sasha checked herself.
Yep.
She was like, you know what? Let's just. I'm gonna keep that comment and let it keep it moving, and then we're gonna go on this mission that we're here for. Let's just keep it there.
Yeah, I was trying to look up. I couldn't remember what that red piece was. I couldn't remember if it was from a taillight that got broken.
Yeah.
It was a taillight that got broken, or some red glass. But I feel like it was a taillight of something, and that's what Rosita took. But I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, definitely. So that conversation starts, and they're on their mission, and like. Still a lot more of the same catty stuff, and maybe this episode, because it resolved in that conversation, it's like a little bit more, I don't know, it's easier to stomach, but like,
well, I think you had to bring it to a head too,
because
it's like, you know, there have been like sly remarks back and forth, you know, the passive aggressive stuff, but before they were able to just resolve it and get it out, they needed to be like, all right, we're about to go into this together, we need to be on the same page, so you just got to get to the point of ultimate tension where you're either gonna solve it and be on a team or not solve it and you're both gonna die.
Definitely. I was happy to see them definitely hash it out and start to get a little bit of that backstory on their mission, but just the stuff like, we're gonna take a nice clean shot from outside, I won't miss. She's like, we have to get inside. It's like, no, I have to take the shot. And you're just like, shut up. Yeah, like, come on.
I kind of wanted to be like, okay, you go inside and you take the damn shot.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just stay outside and watch from a distance.
The triplets on the chat said it's a taillight. So I think you said
that's
that, John.
So,
cool.
Or Ben.
Now, triplets, what was it a taillight from?
Okay, well, you heard that, triplets.
They'll hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you, triplets. Also, that's really creepy that there's three people on one account.
So, in the conversation that they start having when they're up in that building and they're watching from a distance, there's definitely, like, some of the stuff, like, were you happy? And I thought, actually, that Rosita's monologue there about what had happened was actually pretty beautiful. I thought that was, like, a really interesting way to describe what had happened and not a place that I had ever gone to. Because, I mean, definitely with an ensemble show like this, there's this thing that happens where episode to episode you get chunks of these people's personalities. But, look, we're watching it all in real time. A week passes, another week passes. Sometimes it's been 4 or 5 weeks since the last time you got a really relevant moment out of a character. So when they have a revelation or they have a monologue or something that's supposed to tell you, inform you about something important, you almost don't even remember sometimes the last time they had an important moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Abraham was like that sometimes.
Yeah.
So in those final episodes when they were starting to give us more moments where Abraham was, he was having the moment with Sasha when they were out finding the rocket launcher, you know, and he's having that moment in the when he's driving, right? He's like, it's going to be okay. I want to be happy. And you're like, gosh, you're going to die.
No, you're so going to die.
That was the moment.
Don't be happy. It's the Game of Thrones rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's like the thing that I think she's saying is like, I was mad at first, but then I was just pissed that he figured his shit out first.
Yeah.
That was just a nice line, I thought. It really made a lot of sense. It made me understand Abraham's character a lot more than I really had in that moment. And also it made me understand why Rosita was so angry. She wasn't just mad at Sasha. She was like super pissed at the situation because she sort of felt like all of the survivalist stuff, she had actually found someone who like accepted her for that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
She didn't need to learn from him. It was like they were a team, but they were so like rough around the edges. That's why they could, like, laugh and have sex. Eugene's watching. It's like, who cares? Like, we're on the road. We're survivalists.
Everybody has to get their rocks off at the end of the world.
I mean, but at the end of the day, she got played. Let's just be honest.
She did.
Like, she got played. Yeah, and not only did you get played, but homegirl is wearing the necklace that you made for your man. Let's just keep it 100. I mean, sorry.
But
you gotta go there.
She's being a trooper, really.
She should have slapped Sasha. But no, it wasn't even Sasha's fault. She didn't even know. Sasha didn't know. So.
But going back to what Ben was saying, it was like...
Keep it 100,
She thought she found somebody that was on the same level as her, because with all those other guys, she said she felt inadequate compared to them because they had all those survivalist techniques and stuff like that. And then she found out she wasn't on the same level as him. So it was almost her, while it wasn't an actual step back, she feels like she never made that final step, which is what he did because he figured his stuff out.
Yeah.
My only thing
shit out, according to the episode.
Now we've sworn more than the episode.
Okay, okay.
My only thing with their conversation that they had, I love the conversation they had, and, you know, like you said, them hashing it out, because it could have gone one of two ways, the way that it did, or them blowing up and then, you know, having a fight and causing issues. My only thing was that they seemed so comfortable sitting up there chatting about their boyfriends and, you know.
With knots, I know.
Right? I mean, like, the saviors are right outside.
Also,
like,
now I really
so want to
know what the knots were going to get used for.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because we haven't seen that yet.
That's why I'm like, are you guys tying knots right now? For what?
Yeah, there will be something for
sure.
You're
going to hang
sure.
someone right now? So that was my only thing. But I like the conversation.
So looking outside, they see Eugene. Yep. She's like, some angle. And, like, again, I called this last week specifically. I was like, I know that Eugene's going to be put in a moment where he's supposed to be, like, kind of on their side, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
gonna did. You did say
and
it.
And it's not going to be in a big moment where, like, someone dies. It's literally going to be in a moment where you're just like, come on, man. Be one of the good guys. And he's going to be like, no, I can't do it. That's exactly what happened.
You did, and I disagree with you because I thought that he would come through, but he did not. And he is true to form mm-hmm. with why I did not like his character.
Well, you said it when we were all watching. Like, Eugene is always playing...
Both sides.
Yeah. I don't think he's playing any side. He's playing for himself. Like, he's not playing...
He's just going with the team right. that whatever he thinks he yeah. can survive with.
Yeah, exactly. He's not playing... He was never playing for the Alexandrians. He was never playing for Negan. He's just playing for him. And as long as he could get away without being discovered, then he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, but what's messed up with that is that everybody who he has surrounding him is trying to protect him. And then it's like, at what point does he pick a side, though? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
these people are protecting you, dude. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted.
When there's only one side left, that's when he'll pick.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understood what he was going for. You ladies are coming. I didn't ask you to come here. You just, like, shot a guy. He's dead next.
And I'm going to get blamed for that.
I've seen what happens when Negan's mad. I'm standing next to you here next to this dead guy, and I'm going to have to go back and report this immediately. That's my best chance of survival. Otherwise, I've got to run with you,
yep.
try to get out of here, and trust mm-hmm. that you're going to keep me safe so that I can, what, be scared of Negan from the other side of the fence?
Mm-hmm. Also, they had no intent of leaving at that point.
No, they didn't.
They needed to finish the job, whether it was one or both of them, and at that time, Rosita thought it was both of them.
Yeah.
So, what was he going to do? Go hang run. Outside while they're going to, you know, go do what they're going to do?
Yeah, right. I almost can't. I can blame him, but not entirely. Like, I know where he's coming.
Listen, in that situation, I don't necessarily blame him because it's like, okay, these are Rosita and Sasha coming up to save me, but I got like 30 dudes who can kill them at any moment.
Yeah.
And as good as they are, they may not survive this, and I got to keep this balance on what side I'm playing. But my problem still with him is that he plays so many different sides, and so many people are protecting him. So, dude, at what point are you going to step up and man up? And I haven't seen that from him yet.
He will, and we'll talk about that in predictions.
Really? I don't think he will.
He doesn't need to.
So the final scene in the episode comes down to they clip the fence, Eugene runs away, Sasha gets in, and then she shuts it.
Yep.
And she's like, I'm going to go do this thing. She runs off.
They still need you.
Yeah, and Rosita runs away and sees Daryl in the distance. And
so
that's the question.
So let's talk about the Sasha part, and then let's talk about the Daryl part.
Okay, so she runs. She like runs into the spot,
and shoots a dude before going in.
Yeah, like silence, yeah. full silencer, and yeah. just like that was.
She
like,
totally badassed him.
Yeah, that was basically the opening. That was like the opening sequence, the very beginning of the first level in GoldenEye, when you like duck around the right corner and you take the guy with the silencer in the head, one shot, and then turn right. And it's like speed run. It's like speed run shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I do.
Yeah. So anyway,
and then it was just lots of gunfire, and then there were the other guys who came out the door that Eugene went back in,
yeah.
and they took the quick turn because it, I'm assuming that was just the quickest path to get to where they thought the gunfire was, which is why they didn't see Rosita.
Through the door was the quickest path for Sasha to go star on a new show. So that was that's basically what happened in that scene.
Yeah. So
she'll die next episode, I'm assuming, like be tortured or killed in front of people. She'll probably do something heroic when she's inside to like save Eugene. I don't know. Maybe Eugene will save her.
Well, that's a lot of people in the chat are saying that too.
Eugene's going to save her.
No, well, that she's definitely going to be out yeah. because of her new new show.
So. Especially after all the stuff with wow, I'm having
which character?
Steven Yu's character. Wow,
Glenn.
Wow,
wow. You've been in Japan,
I've been in Japan
too long.
For
You've
too
forgotten
long.
Names no. of people.
Yeah.
What's going on?
No, I mean, that. Especially doing the off-camera death for Glenn. I don't think anybody would believe that somebody's actually been killed off-camera.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So there's no way we're getting away with, you know, hearsay that she gets killed. Like, we're gonna have to see it.
Well, I mean, characters in the show get to go get new shows and disappear. I mean.
Yeah.
Enter Heath, you know. He's been mm-hmm. gone for... Heath.
Heath.
I always mix the name up for some reason. Heath. You know, I did this with Sasha and Tasha for like three... For three
Heath
seasons.
Is too busy doing 24
that's
right now.
That's what I just said, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That was my... That was yeah. literally my life.
I heard you, but like, I was reading the chat. My
thanks
bad.
Thanks for blacking out.
My bad. Sorry, I was reading the chat. My bad. My bad. I blacked out for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. No, but I do agree that we're going to get the resolution on Sasha next week. I don't think it holds to the following week.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now on the flip side of this, you have Rosita sees Daryl and she runs to Daryl.
So...
What's going on?
We paused it,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it was the lighting on our screen and stuff like that, but we, like, got this close to the screen.
It's Dwight.
There was no beard.
It's
And the nose, yeah. too, is
And
very
they're
dwight-y.
Actually talking about it on the chat right now.
Yep. It's a big question.
Luli Tube says, whose silhouette was that, Daryl or Dwight? And people are saying it's Dwight's, and we agree with that.
Yeah, we do agree with that.
Because we actually... I know you guys think that we, you know, don't take, you know, we're not capturing everything sometimes. We literally paused the TV.
And we were this close.
All three of us walked up to the screen to look at the silhouette, and we determined... that it was not Daryl.
To be fair, at first we all thought it was Daryl because the general silhouette but they gave
the
us
easy
was very Daryl's silhouette.
And that's what we all felt was it would have been way too easy and convenient to just be Daryl.
Right. Plus the last time we saw Daryl, he's like, oh, where are Sasha and Rosita?
So. Yeah, that was the red herring on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but no, we got up close and also it looked like it was the original crossbow.
Yeah.
So that was one piece of it, but when you look and like, yeah, technically we could have even started playing with the color on the TV, but I didn't want Kevin and Maria to get mad at us. But as far as we could tell, we couldn't see facial hair, and then Susanna pointed out the nose.
The hair and the nose.
She got it. Now, Mr. R said Dwight is really scrawny and short, and so he doesn't think that could be Dwight.
His figure kind of looked Dwight-y.
He looked very skinny, and the problem is from the angle, you didn't have context as to how tall he was.
I think you guys are dead Dwight.
Dead Dwight.
We're so off the rails today.
I thought you guys.
Sorry. No, we haven't even been drinking tonight.
I think you guys were right about it because it doesn't make any sense for Daryl to just show up like that. Like it would be.
He also got there really quick.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with MC858 who said it was actually the CGI deer. I'm with you, MC. 858.
Yeah. They look similar. It was
the deer. So when I was gone, people were making fun of the CG too.
Oh yeah.
Making sure. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Daryl could not stand.
I couldn't even watch the episode after the deer. It was disturbing to me.
So yeah, so I think we should probably get into predictions now because it seems like we're at a good point. Yeah. The shadow is gone.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
Don't start yawning.
All right, so we are going to do our predictions, and then we are going to take a quick 1 to 2 minutes to chat after the closing predictions about comic book related stuff. As we always do, that will be spoilers, laden with spoilers. Sorry, guys. let's talk about predictions. So I think that this was going to happen. I think that is Dwight. Makes a lot of sense. I didn't catch that, but I think you guys are dead right.
Dead Dwight.
I also think that Sasha will be inside. She'll be either like wounded or captured. Something's going to happen. I think Eugene's going to do something heroic to save her. I think that's what's going to happen, to turn him back to the good side. But I think she ultimately will still die, probably by the finale. I don't even know if she dies next week. She'll probably be wounded or captive wounded. Mm-hmm. She'll die in the finale, is my guess. That'll probably be like a Negan, like, throw her out and, you know, into the zombie pit. So, like... everyone can see her get eaten publicly or something like that.
Or she gets shot straight up.
Yeah, something like that I think is what happens.
Yeah, I would agree that she doesn't make it out. I mean, it's all really going to depend on what we see from within inside the Savior's compound next week versus what we see back at Hilltop. We still have the kingdom. We still have Alexandria. Yep. You know, is there going to be anything with the, what is it, Oceanside or whatever it is?
We saw in some scenes for next week.
Yeah, so, I mean... depending on where they want to touch is the only thing to me that lets her live into the finale. But I agree, she's not making it past the finale. Everything here is pointing out to, like, now a shot has been fired.
Yep.
There's no way that the Saviors don't have a retaliation.
Yep.
So now it's just a matter of time frame.
Yeah, the war starts.
Yeah, sure. Agreed.
Agreed. I think Sasha is also on her way out. I said that before, too, though. I think Gregory is going to shit weasel out Maggie and, cause trouble. Yeah, I think he's definitely going to flip sides and cause trouble there. So that's...
I can't wait till he gets stabbed while drinking tequila.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I think Maggie might be the one to take him out, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I'm going to go with two things. The first thing is I think there's going to be a major war. I think that's
going out
happen.
Going out on a big limb, all right? Limb.
Yep, major war by the last episode, and I think
episode
actually
16 is titled War.
No, I'm just saying, like, but a major war, like a bloody war.
Oh, not it's a little war.
Yeah, not like, a little war, a major bloody war. Right. And I actually think I'm gonna say this. I think that we're actually gonna lose Rosita and Sasha on the same episode. That's how we're gonna go out,
guys. We're definitely gonna lose Rosita and Sasha in the same episode. I think it's gonna happen.
Are you serious? Really? Are you making fun of me?
I know. Like, are you hopping?
Did you say that?
Are you joking?
Just kidding.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
You guys, I think we're done.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I think is going to happen.
It's been an episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Sign off. Dear God, can we sign off?
Guys, thank you so much for listening. We're going to just do it. We're going to tell us where you can find us each personally, and then also we're going to do a quick, like, 1 to 2 minutes about comic book spoilers. So after we've done our sign-offs, if you guys want to get out of here, we'll say spoiler alert and skedaddle. Dario, where can the post find you?
You can find me at Dario Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and on our sister network, Black Hollywood Live.
You guys can find me at Susanna underscore Kim, S-U-S-A-N-N-A-H underscore K-I-M.
The John Carl, T-H-E-J-O-H-N-C-A-R-L-E on Twitter and Instagram, and also Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
And Ben Bateman, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. On Wednesdays, do an action movie anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network and on the brand new app Anchor. Download it. It's awesome. It's podcasting meets Twitter. I do a Magic the Gathering show there. It's no big deal.
Nerd!
Yeah, thanks, sorry, guys. Can we get a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
So, what do we got? What do we got going on?
I kind of don't have anything past what we've already been saying at that point, you know?
The big stuff for me, okay, so in the comic books, last chance, guys, this is, we're going to talk about things in the comics, so
Daryl,
don't listen.
Earmuffs.
Gregory's death happens in the comics, yep, not too long after now, and it's after he switches sides. I can't exactly remember if he gets ratted out of Alexandria because he tries to do that thing, and then he gets sent away.
I don't remember, to be honest.
He's trying to kill Maggie or something?
Yeah.
Like that, right?
Yeah,
well,
he tries,
like, he does that.
He tries to off
episode.
Maggie.
Yeah,
so
I think that's what happens. And then he goes to Negan's. And then, but the whole thing I'm thinking with Sasha is that originally Gregory gets, like, thrown off of a building. That's what happens. I don't think they're going to do that. They might. I have a feeling it might be Sasha that gets thrown off a building. For some reason, I think that they might do the same thing with her.
I don't know. I feel like Gregory's going to try to out Maggie being there, and it's going to be kind of like what I was alluding to earlier of,
yeah,
like, oh, so you were harboring her, and then he gets the toss.
And then he gets killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
I want Gregory to die, though, really bad.
Oh, yeah, we all want Gregory to die. There's no argument.
Yeah. I didn't actually put that in my predictions, but I want him to die really tragically.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not tragic if you don't like the guy.
Also,
you just want him brutally murdered.
Yeah, brutally murdered.
Also, Eugene and Rosita, we said this before, have romance in the comics. I don't know that Eugene and Rosita end up together in this.
The way that this is set up now with Eugene not taking the opportunity,
yeah,
makes it harder for me.
Yeah, it seems highly unlikely. It would be like seasons from now. I can't imagine them doing it next season.
Yeah, because in comic book time, it's at least three or four trades right now away from where we are.
Right.
So
are you caught up now?
I'm almost on the most current trade.
So did you see the thing where the last with all the spikes?
Yes, I saw the spikes.
Guys, thank you so much for
don't worry, there are spikes.
Watching and talking and all those things. We'll be back next week. There's only 2 episodes left this season. Same time, same place next
we
week.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
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 From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.